Let's all stand together, please, for the reading of God's Word. And Revelation chapter 22, and look at verse 12, please. And behold, I come quickly. Amen. Oh, I love that. I love that. It gives me chills every time I read that. And he said, my reward is with me to give every man according to as his work shall be. Now, I believe that's talking about the rapture right there. Because Jesus is, when he comes at the rapture, there's going to be the judgment seat of Christ. There's going to be rewards given out. And he said, behold, I come quickly. Now he's talking about in the twinkling of an eye. In the twinkling of an eye. Now Brother Waymire talked about the rapture, this artificial parts going to be falling down from the sky and everything. I look at it like this. At the rapture, I hope that when I do go up, that the Lord will change my body before I hit the ceiling. Amen. All right. It's going to hurt. All right. Okay. So I do want it to happen real quickly. Real quickly. And so do you, by the way. Then he said in verse 13, he said, I am Alpha and Omega. Oh, I love that. Alpha is the first letter of the Greek alphabet. Omega is the last letter of the Greek alphabet. He says, I'm like the A and the Z. Isn't it great that he is there at your beginning, and he'll be all the way with you to your end? Amen. I mean, that's why David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. And the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Now, I want you to drop down to verse 16. And this is the text, verse 16. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. Now, I'm sure you've heard that. I'm sure you've heard and you've read that Jesus is the bright and morning star. I'm going to do something a little bit different. I hope you don't think I'm crazy when I do this. I'm going to preach the Word of God. That's not crazy. But I'm going to kind of give it a little bit of a different slant here. I'm going to kind of, just for a little while, give you a little of science in the Bible. And I'm going to talk to you about Jesus, the bright and morning star, and kind of tell you what that means. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we have a wonderful book in our hands right now. We have a wonderful Savior. We thank you, dear Jesus, for saving our souls. We thank you that you are the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. We thank you that you are going to come, and that you're going to come quickly, and that you're going to have reward with you. But I thank you also, dear Jesus, that you call yourself the bright and morning star. This is not something somebody decided to call you and you said, okay, that sounds like a good idea, I'm going to accept it. You called yourself the bright and morning star. Help us to know what that is, and help us to know what that means, and help us to know a little bit more about you, because we came today and we heard some preaching. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. You may be seated, please. I love the names of the Lord Jesus Christ. There are so many of them in the Word of God. I love the fact that Jesus Christ is the Alpha and the Omega. I love the fact that he is called the Bishop of our souls. I like the fact that he is the chief cornerstone. I like the fact that he is the day spring. I like the fact that he is the everlasting Father. I like the fact that he is faithful and true. I like the fact that he is our great high priest. I like the fact that he is our high tower. I like the fact that he is the I am. I like the fact that he is our justifier. I like the fact that he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I love the fact that he is called my master. He's the Messiah. I love the fact that he is the Nazarene. I love the fact that he is the only wise God. I love the fact that he is the Prince of Peace. I love the fact that he is our Redeemer. I love the fact that he is the Savior and the Son of God. I love the fact that he is the truth. I love the fact that he is the unspeakable gift. I love the fact that He is divine. I love the fact that He is the way and that He is wonderful and that He is the Word of God. And we can start all the way from the beginning of the alphabet, go all the way down, come up with some more names, and do the same thing over and over and over and over again. I love the fact that Jesus is who He calls Himself to be. But I want to tell you something. And by the way, the greatest of all the names is Jesus. Amen. But I love how He calls Himself the bright and morning star. I am, He said, the bright and the morning star. Now, I believe that He said that because He is comparing Himself to a celestial body somewhere in the universe. Some celestial body that people can see with their naked eye. He said, I am like that. I am the bright and morning star. Now, I like to know what the bright and morning star is that He's talking about. I really like to know. One evening when I was a little boy, I was looking up in the evening sky. My dad was with me. And I saw this star in the sky. And it was just so bright. I mean, it's just like, you know, a sore thumb. Just really sticking out there. Brighter than everything except for maybe the moon. And I said to my dad, I said, Dad, look at that star. Look how bright it is. I was just a little boy. And my dad said to me, son, that's no star. I said, it isn't. He said, no. I said, then what is it then? It's definitely not the sun. It's definitely not the moon. He said, son, they said it's a planet. He said, it's Venus. The planet Venus. I had a hard time believing that that was actually a planet because it looked like a star. It looked like a star. And I believe with all my heart. And by the way, you're going to get some science here this morning, but you're going to get a lot of Bible too. Because by the way, God is the God of science.
Right. Amen. Amen.
Don't believe what these stupid evolutionists say.
Right. Yeah.
You know, because God created them too.
Yeah.
But you know, I don't want to elevate science here this morning. I want to elevate Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I want you to see some things about the planet Venus that once you see them, you're going to say, boy, that sounds like Jesus. That sounds like Jesus. Now the thing is, then you say, preacher, why did Jesus call it a star if he knew it was a planet? I mean, He created it. Well, up until the late 1700s, nobody in the world knew anything about planets. They didn't know. It wasn't until 1791 that a man by the name of William Herschel discovered the first planet. Up until that time, even Americans, everybody thought that all the celestial bodies, everything that they saw except for the moon and the night sky was a star. They could have looked at Mars and say, boy, look at that star. That's a little bit on the red side, but they thought it was a star. They could look at Mercury and say, you know what? Look at that star. They could look at Saturn and say, look at that star. They looked at Venus and said the same thing. And it wasn't until the late 1700s that people realized that there were planets and that there was a solar system. And so in Jesus' day, people, when they looked up in the sky, they didn't know what a planet was. All they looked at, they could look at Mars and say, that's a star up there. And so Jesus knew that. And so Jesus kind of came down to our level, if you please, and says, okay, I am the bright and morning star. You look at that thing up there and you say it's a star, but I'm the bright and morning star. It's interesting that the Lord Jesus Christ compared himself to that particular planet. And I did some studying up on our neighboring planet towards the sun, and I discovered some interesting facts about it, and I think that you'll you'll learn some things. Now, first of all, the thing about Venus is it's the third brightest natural object in space. In magnitude. I mean, that's why it's bright. That's why it's so bright. That's why it looks like a star more than it looks like a planet. Venus has the apparent magnitude of negative 3.8 to negative 4.6. Making it visible even on a bright, clear day sometimes. The only things up there in the sky that are brighter than that in magnitude are the sun and the moon. The sun has a magnitude of -26.7. Now, the lower you go in the numbers, the brighter the magnitude. I don't know how they do that, but that's the way it is. Venus is so bright that it's often been mistaken as a UFO. Back in 1969, Jimmy Carter, not president then, of course, he reported a bright white ball about the size of the moon and that changed colors in the sky. And then it seemed to kind of retreat in the night sky above a town called Leary, Georgia. And when he called in, he reported it as being a UFO, an unidentified flying object, because he could not explain what he had seen. Did you know that Venus can be bright enough, even in the night sky, it's able to cast shadows? They call them Vesuvian shadows. It's an amazing thing. The Lord Jesus Christ said, "I am the light of the world." Can you imagine the brilliancy of the Lord Jesus Christ when we see Him? Yeah. I mean, when He was here on this earth, His total brightness was shrouded by His humanity. He was hiding His brightness. But you remember that time He took three of His disciples, Peter, James, and John? And He went up on top of this mount. They called the Mount of Transfiguration. And He transfigured Himself into His glorious body. And they saw the complete brilliance of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Matthew 17:2 that His face did shine as the sun and His raiment was white as the light. The Apostle John, remember when he was on the Isle of Patmos and God gave him the book of Revelation. I was talking to my family yesterday and the grandkids, and so my grandson and his mother had just come back from a trip over to Greece, and mostly Greece, and they went to the island of Patmos. I was jealous. They went to some of the places that they went to Mars Hill where Paul preached and other places. And the tour guide said when they were on the island of Patmos, they showed them this cave, and this was tradition. Of course, I can't go by this. But the tour guide said, this is supposedly the place right here where the Apostle Paul wrote down the book of Revelation. We know that he wrote down the book of Revelation on the island of Patmos. But when John was writing, he saw the Lord Jesus Christ in His full brilliance. His face was as white as the sun. And so forth. And man, I tell you what, when we see Him in heaven, and we are in that eternal city, the New Jerusalem, that heavenly city, the Bible says that we will see that the city has no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it. Why? For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the Bible even tells us that even on this new earth, it's going to be the same way. There will be no light, no need of the sun or light of the moon. You say, well, why are they going to be there? Probably for decoration. You see, right now we do need the sun for sunlight. Amen? But guess what? The creator of the sun's going to be here, and there's not going to be any need for the light of the sun. Boy, I'm looking forward to heaven. Amen? No need of the sun. Because the light of the Lamb is the glory thereof. And I want to tell you something. No wonder Jesus calls himself the bright and morning star because of his brilliance. But secondly, even though Venus is different from our Earth, it's also similar. Now, how is it similar? Well, it's called our sister planet. It really is. It's called the sister planet. Size-wise, it's almost the same as ours. There's only a difference in diameter of 638 kilometers between Venus and Earth. Now, that's pretty close when you think about it. Venus has about 81% of the mass of the Earth. So it's almost identical in diameter. It's almost identical in mass. And by the way, both planets, ours and Venus, has a central core, has a molten mantle, and it has a crust. So both of our planets are similar in size and mass and density. And by the way, both of our planets have volcanoes. There are volcanoes on that planet. The only thing is that they have a volcano over there on Venus that is 5 miles high. We don't have one that high. But they have volcanoes. There are several similarities between that planet and ours. But you know, Venus has some differences too, of course. Do you know that the temperatures on the surface of Venus get as hot as 900 degrees Fahrenheit? Pretty hot. You say, I'll just wear sandals. It ain't gonna help. I'll just put some suntan lotion on or whatever, you know, that screen stuff, you know. It ain't gonna help. 900 degrees. And you know what? We complain about our, we get a heat wave of 100 degrees, you know, for the last a week and everything, and say, oh, I can't stand it anymore. Well, go to Venus and see. You'll come back over here and say, oh, it's so cold. There are no seasons there on that planet because it doesn't tilt on its axis. It has no tilt. We have a little bit of a tilt. They don't have any. The atmosphere of planet Venus is 96.5% carbon dioxide, which traps the heat on that planet, making it the hottest planet in our solar system, hotter than Mercury. Its atmospheric pressure is 92 times stronger than ours, and it's so strong that any small asteroid that would try to enter into the atmosphere, or large asteroid, would be crushed immediately by the huge pressure, and that's why there are no surface craters on that planet, like there are on the moon. Venus also has a very weak magnetic field. We have a very strong magnetic field. You say, well, preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying that even though that the Son of God is so different from us, in many respects, he is the same as we are. And by the way, thanks to his incarnation. Yes, he's sinless. Praise God for that. He's the Son of God. Praise God for that. There's so many features about the Lord Jesus Christ that we would never, ever even closely match up to. But I want to tell you something. There are so many things that are similar to Jesus and us. I mean, hey, are you going through something right now? Jesus knows all about it. Are you having some sorrow right now? Jesus knows all about it. He's been there. The Bible says that he's the man of sorrows. You say, well, preacher, I've gotten so much pain. I'm in so much pain, I just don't know what to do. I keep taking this medicine. I keep going from one doctor to another, and I try to alleviate the pain, and I just can't. Jesus knows all about your pain because he's been there, And nobody has felt, nobody here on this earth has ever felt pain like Jesus did. So similar. He is the image of the invisible God. The Bible says, if ye have seen me, ye have seen the Father. The Bible says, who being the brightness of his Father's glory, he also is the express image of his person. He is fully God, but he's fully man. Amen? He is our mediator. The Bible says that we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Amen. No wonder Jesus is called the bright and morning star. How about this one? One day on Venus is longer almost than 1 year on earth. 1 year on Venus, one day on Venus is longer or almost longer than 1 year on earth. And that's because of the slow rotation on the axis. It goes so very slow that it takes 243 earth days to complete one rotation. Can you imagine? You ever hear the story about these two blondes? They planned an expedition to the sun, space expedition. Now, of course, word got around, you know, and people were getting around, and reporters were coming from all over the place, you know, and they started questioning and interviewing these two blonde astronauts, and so they said, so you're planning an expedition to the sun? You're going to go to the sun? They said, yes, we are. And they start laughing and laughing, and they say, well, what are you laughing about? They said, don't you realize that you're going to burn up? And they said, duh, we're all going to burn up because we're going at night. Can you imagine a couple of astronauts going over to Venus, and they land safely on Venus, and one says to another, says, now you go that way and explore over there because there's some mountains over there, and I'll go where it's more on the plains and everything. I'll do some exploration over here, and I'll see you tomorrow. You know what that's like saying? I'll see you in 8 months. You say, well, preacher, what are you getting at? Well, doesn't the Bible say that one day is as 1,000 years to the Lord, and 1,000 years as a day? And you know what? When it comes to answered prayer, to have an answered prayer, we want it yesterday. Lord, when are you going to supply our need? Lord, when are you going to when's my son going to come back home? Lord, when is my mom or my dad or my grandfather or my grandmother, when are they going to get saved? Some of these things that you've been praying for maybe a decade, a two or three or four, you just keep on praying till life breaks through. My God will answer. He'll answer you. And you say, well, Lord, how come you answered it? Yeah, I only started praying yesterday. Lord, how come? And it's a day. How come you answered it, Lord? And so God says, well, I want to remind you something, that a day with me is just 1,000 years, so what's your hurry? You know? Here's another thing. The temperature on Venus doesn't change much at all between night and day. Can you imagine the five-day forecast? Can you imagine a weatherman on Venus? Who knows what they look like, you know? And he's getting on TV in the 5 day forecast, you know, the panorama, you know. And he says, okay, Monday's high, 900. The low, 900. Tuesday's high, 900. The low that evening, 900. Yeah, you know, all the way, 900 all the way across the board, highs and lows. Stays like that. It stays like that. Day and night. Day and night. The Bible says, yea, the darkness hath not it hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as day, and the darkness and the light are both alike unto thee. And by the way, it's the same goes for temperature. You know how people are? Just the slightest little thing. We're so temperamental. Just the slightest little thing sets somebody off. I know two pastors well, and they're both were doing well, but now struggling financially. Churches were growing. One of them just recently had the men got together for a budget meeting, and they're trying to figure out how that they can pay for Sunday school curriculum. Because they lost people over stupid things. You know? Just the slightest little thing set them off. You know what? Jesus said, I'm the same yesterday and today and forever. I wonder why Jesus said, I'm the bright and morning star. Why did he compare himself in some ways with that planet over there? Why did he do that? Because I tell you what, as you study a little bit of science, you'll find, you see Jesus. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus said, the Bible says, for I am the Lord, I changeth not. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, when with him whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Our world is getting worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. It's a sickening to me. I mean, this country is getting more sodomite all the time. And the thing about it is that more and more people, even Christians, that are accepting that thing. But brother, let me tell you something. We need to stay the same.
Amen.
And you know what? When it comes to our temperature, there shouldn't be much variation. You know, if the preacher preaches something that oh yeah, you know, man, right on, preacher, amen, that's good, that's good, that's good. And then sometimes a bomb will land in your backyard.
Yeah.
Just stay cool and just realize it's the Word of God.
Yeah.
Amen. Stay right where you're at, amen. Not every bomb is going to land in your backyard, amen. I'm telling you, there's so many churches that are struggling today because of that very fact. Oh, you'll like this one. I like it. Venus is the only planet that rotates opposite the others. Venus, okay, the other planets, including ours, they all rotate in a counterclockwise motion. All of them, except for Venus, which clockwise. It's the only one. Only one of the nine. You say, well, preacher, there's only eight. They kicked out Pluto. Well, hey, let me tell you something, brother. I'm still counting Pluto in. Amen.
Yeah, amen.
Good night in the morning.
Good.
Don't pick on a dog and kick him out of the universe. Let him stay.
Yeah.
I'm telling, don't get me on something, brother, but I'm going to tell you something. And you know what? These crazy scientists, and they call that retrograde axis, okay? The planets all going this way, and Venus going this way, okay? Now that's like that. It's almost trying to rub your head and pat your tummy at the same time, and I can't do that. Why is that? Well, here's what scientists say. Now get this. Scientists say that billions of years ago, a huge meteor hit the planet and knocked it in another direction. That makes about as much sense as a screen door to a submarine. It's crazy. They call that retrograde rotation. And all. But I want to tell you what really happened. I believe that God on purpose made that planet to rotate the opposite way of the other ones in order to teach us a lesson about our bright morning star, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is this. If we follow Jesus Christ, and we should, we're going to go against the grain of the direction that this old world is going. Amen?
Amen.
Hey, if the world is going this way, then let's keep going this way. If there were, okay. Come on up. All right. Here's Kristen right here. And you'll be the world just for a little bit, okay? All right. Now, you start real slowly. Start walking in that direction real slowly. Real slow. Okay. Now, he's going farther left. That's the world. That's where the world is going, right? Oh, here's the Christian, though. Right? Now, thank you. Now, the Christian, they don't want to say, the evangelicals don't want to say, well, we don't want to associate ourselves with that. We don't want to associate ourselves with Led Zeppelin. We know Led Zeppelin is wrong. We know that Black Sabbath is wrong. We know that they're of the devil. We know all of that. We know about the Allman Brothers and the Doobie Brothers and all the other brothers. We'll remain distant from them. But you see, that's what the Christian does. And look where the Christian is. The Christian is where the world used to be. In our music, in the way we dress, the way we act, in our attitudes and the things that we accept. Now, watch this. Come on back over here. Okay. All right, now you do the same thing, just real slowly over that way. Okay, this is what we ought to be right here. Goodbye, world, goodbye. You don't want to go that way? Go ahead. Yeah, don't keep going that way. You're going to play a tune for us. Okay, thanks. Have a seat. Okay? The Bible said, Jesus said, enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. Many there be that go in thereat, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Hey, that's a good gospel message right there. That's good preaching right there if you're preaching to a lost crowd, and praise the Lord for that, and there's application for that. But you know what? There's more application than that. That means that when the world is going one way, the Christian ought to be going the other way. If all the world is coming this way, and even some Christians who are jumping on board, jumping on the bandwagon, Christians ought to be going right this. Amen. Right down that straight and narrow path all the way. Amen. You say, well, man, I tell you what, it's going to be real hard to get through that. Well, hey, the Christian life is not easy. And when we're supposed to be standing our own ground and all that, and when we're following Jesus, look what Jesus did. Jesus didn't go the way of the world. He came here to die on the cross for the world. He came here to die on the cross for your sin and mine. But he never cowtied to the world at all, especially to the Pharisees. The religious crowd. And you know who's going to give you the most problem? The religious crowd. Yeah. But one thing I want to say real quickly, and I'm going to close. Let's go back to that brightness of that planet. It's unbelievable. I mean, if that planet is able to sometimes cast shadows on this earth, there's something bright about it. But why is it so bright? Venus's atmosphere is divided into two broad layers. There is a thick cloud bank that encases the entire planet. And below that, in the atmosphere, you got everything below those clouds. So you got this thick cloud bank encasing the entire planet. These clouds, something about these clouds, First of all, they extend from 50 to 80 kilometers above the surface. Secondly, they are composed primarily of sulfur dioxide and sulfuric acid. These clouds are so dense that they reflect 60% of the rays of the sun that it receives. And those rays then bounce back out through space, and that's why we can see it so brightly. The only way we can see it as bright as we do is because of the clouds. And I want to tell you something. You know when Jesus shines the brightest in your life? It's not when you're on the mountaintop. It's when you're in the valley. It's in the clouds. It's in the clouds. That's when Jesus shines the brightest in your life. I want to tell you, so I'll be honest with you, I don't like the clouds. If I had my choice, I'd say no, I don't want them. But they are going to come. And when those clouds come, when the light of the Lord Jesus Christ comes your way, you can glorify God in the fires. Just like Brother Waymire was talking about. Because the Bible does say glorify God in the fires. I don't like the fires. I don't like the clouds. I don't like any of that. But Jesus Christ can shine the brightest in your life when you allow the Lord Jesus Christ to handle the situation and you take it and you can give God the glory by it. No wonder Jesus Christ is called and calls himself the bright and morning star.